This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new film Foxcatcher stars Steve Carell as John DuPont, the eccentric heir to the DuPont chemical fortune, who in 1997 became one of the wealthiest men in America ever convicted of murder. He'd thought of himself as an expert on many things, including guns and wrestling. In the 1980s and 90s, he invited Olympic wrestlers to live and train on his estate. He considered himself their wrestling coach. He eventually shot and killed one of those wrestlers, Olympic gold medalist Dave Schultz. The film focuses on DuPont's relationship with Dave Schultz, who's played by Mark Ruffalo, and his younger brother Mark, whom DuPont first invited to come and train at his estate called Foxcatcher Farm. Our guest today is the film's director, Bennett Miller. He also directed Capote and Moneyball. He spoke with Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies. They began with this early scene from Foxcatcher. Mark Schultz, who's already won a gold medal and is struggling to train for the next Olympics with little support, has been invited to visit DuPont at his lavish estate. Mark Schultz is played by Channing Tatum. DuPont, played by Steve Carell, speaks first.
Do you have any idea why I asked you to come here today?
No.
No. Well, Mark, do you have any idea who I am?
No.
Some rich guy calls you on the phone. I want Mark Schultz to come visit me. Well, I'm a wrestling coach. And I have a deep love, the sport of wrestling. And I wanted to speak with you about your future, about what you hope to achieve. What do you hope to achieve, Mark?
I want to be the best in the world. I want to go to Worlds and win gold. I want to go to the 88 Olympics in Seoul. Win gold.
Good. I'm proud of you.
Well, Bennett Miller, welcome to Fresh Air. Tell us about casting Steve Carell in this role. I mean, a lot of people see this as really surprising.
Nobody expected John DuPont to murder anybody. And it just made a certain amount of sense to put somebody in that role who we do not expect is capable of doing what this character does. When I first started discussing this venture with Steve Carell, he said to me that he'd only ever played characters with mushy centers, and that John DuPont seems to have a mushy center, but doesn't. He's dangerous. And I liked how Steve put it. And as we spoke, it became clear what I think we all already know anyway, is that public personas, and maybe even more so with comedic actors, have a side to them that they don't share with the world. You know, there's a public self and then there's a private reality. And it didn't take a lot of imagination for me to see how that something like that could work with Steve. But I'd also like to say, I just think he's a really strong actor. And as is often the case with comedic actors, he's just awfully sensitive. He's very aware and listens. I just find him to be a very specific, very interesting, and very gifted, sensitive actor.
The wrestling scenes themselves are really compelling, and you just feel the force and the impact of these guys throwing each other around. And this was actually Mark Ruffalo and Channing Tatum. They weren't stand-ins, right? They had to learn how to do this, right?
Yeah. It's not a sport that you can fake on film. You know, you can fake throwing a punch on film. This is just not a sport that you can do that. And you also can't go halfway with it. You really need to feel bodies crashing against each other. And so they spent about 7 months training, getting ready for this.
You had the cooperation of the Schultz family, I mean, who had suffered this terrible trauma so many years ago. And I'm wondering, I would think they would be wary of someone, you know, making a movie out of something which was a fascinating story, but also a really sensational crime story. Were they?
They were obviously very interested and wanted to know what was happening. And we were very transparent about everything and met with them numerous times. And they ended up just being trusting and generous. And Nancy Schultz, at one point, gave Mark Ruffalo, who plays Dave Schultz, her husband, who was murdered by John DuPont, she gave Mark Ruffalo Dave's glasses to wear during the movie. It might seem like a small gesture, but you know, the moment where she hands those over and says, you know, Mark, I'd like to give you these for the part, there's a certain power to that. You know, just what the gesture meant, the measure of trust that that expresses. And when I see Ruffalo wearing those in the film, I just think it has some kind of an effect.
Well, let's listen to another scene from the film. This takes place at the wrestling facility at Foxcatcher, the estate owned by mm-hmm. DuPont. And the team's working out, and John DuPont, who sees himself as the coach of all these champion wrestlers, is having a documentary made. So there's a film and camera crew going as he's shooting the scene. The Olympics are coming up, and in this scene, John DuPont, who's of course played by Steve Carell, is approached by Dave Schultz, played by Mark Ruffalo. DuPont's mother has just died, but part of what they're talking about is that they want to get Dave's brother, Mark Schultz, ready for the Olympics.
Hey, John. Really sorry about your mother.
Oh, no. It's fine.
Okay?
Yes.
You sure?
David, you have a lot of work to do mm-hmm. in the next couple of months, and you're an integral part of that. Understand?
I understand.
I'm going to need you. And I will be relying on you to a great extent. I want, more than anything, to win a gold medal. And we have someone who could do that.
Well, we're going to win a gold medal, John.
How are you feeling?
I feel very good about it.
I'm a little concerned that there are some psychological issues that we need to take care of.
I think he's going to be in real good shape.
Well, I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you, John.
And I think that with you and I mm-hmm. working in tandem, if we can't get him there, no one can. Mm-hmm. All right. Get back.
Okay.
And that's Steve Carell and Mark Ruffalo from the film Foxcatcher, directed by our guest Bennett Miller. You know, one of the things we hear in that clip, apart from this really strained dialogue, is a lot of pats. These guys are sort of awkwardly expressing limited physical affection, patting each other on the shoulder and the back. And, you know, wrestling is interesting because there is so much kind of intense physical grappling. And you've got, you know, DuPont, who is a very lonely man, starved for affection. I wonder to what extent you saw physical attraction as part of these relationships and how you approached that.
You know, there really is a fraternity amongst these wrestlers, and I think DuPont was drawn into that. And I personally was struck the first time I visited the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs and watched how physical these guys were with each other, meaning when they're not wrestling, that there's just real physical affection that's not sexual. But DuPont, I suspect, you know, had other drives, and whatever he admitted to himself, I couldn't say for sure. But, I mean, I don't think anything ever became explicit between him and any of the wrestlers. I really don't believe it. Anything like that ever happened, but I also believe that it's probably part of what drew him into the sport.
I want to talk about Capote, the 2005 film you directed. And, of course, Philip Seymour Hoffman, I think, is just terrific in this role. I mean, I'm old enough to remember Truman Capote, and I just completely believed him in it. But, you know, he is physically a much larger guy and has a very deep voice, you know, that is to say Philip Seymour Hoffman does, whereas Capote didn't. What gave you the confidence he could do this? What made you choose him?
The physical aspect aside, that Phil would really understand who this guy was, where he was in his life, and the demons that he was battling with. Also, it's such a colorful, flagrant, and flamboyant character that it could, in the hands of the wrong actor, quickly become a caricature. And I think Phil was incapable of working in a superficial way. He's like an inside-out actor. It really begins with a core and the emotional connection and an understanding of what's at the root of this behavior.
Let's listen to a clip from Capote. It's, of course, the story of Truman Capote, who's looking into the murder of an entire family in Kansas, and he's writing the book, which came to be In Cold Blood. And in this scene, it's one of many prison interviews he has with Perry Smith, one of two men arrested for the murders. They're years into this complicated relationship already, where they confide in one another and manipulate each other. And as it happens, Truman Capote has just come from New York, where he had a public reading of a portion of the book in process. Perry is very angry. So let's listen to this. This is Philip Seymour Hoffman playing Truman Capote. The role of Perry Smith, the accused murderer, is played by Clifton Collins, Jr.
What's the name of your book? What's the name of your book?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Truman Capote read last night before a packed audience from his nonfiction book, In Cold Blood. The true crime novel tells of killers Richard Hickok and Perry Smith, who brutally murdered a Kansas family 3 years ago.
Who sent that to you?
It's not your goddamn business.
It is my business because it's not true. The organizers of the reading needed a title. They picked one, a sensational one, I admit, to attract a crowd.
They picked it?
Yes.
It's not your title.
Harry, I haven't chosen one yet.
And that is Philip Seymour Hoffman and Clifton Collins, Jr. In the film Capote, directed by our guest Bennett Miller. So much going on in that scene. I mean, Capote just lying to him, trying to get what he wants for his book. You know, and I wondered, you know, you all four of your feature films are based on true events. And I wonder if in some way you kind of identify with the situation that Capote was in, where you want the truth from your subjects, but you also know that you can't ever tell the whole story in the film. And what emerges might disappoint your subjects. I'm assuming that you don't blatantly lie to them the way Capote is doing to Perry Smith there. But is it, I don't know, the awkwardness of making art out of reality?
It's touchy business because there's every chance that there's going to be a conflict of interest. You know, even though these stories are all true and often sensational stories, the interest for them is not simply sensational or that they're good stories. There's always something larger. There's always something allegorical, for me at least. And if that's what I'm reaching for, then hopefully it's not going to violate anybody who's lived the story's sense of truthfulness. That's the negotiation.
You got a note from Harper Lee, who was Truman Capote's companion in doing the research for In Cold Blood. What did she tell you?
Yeah, she sent a handwritten note after the film had come out, and I had had no contact with her. None of us had had any contact with her.
And she's played by Catherine Keener in the film. There's a partnership. She does a terrific job.
Correct. So Harper Lee sent a note saying, essentially, that, you know, you must know that quite a bit of how the story is represented did not go down exactly like that. That there's quite a bit of imagination was brought into the story. But, in her view, it was some kind of a triumph of fiction towards the truth. She said to me, if you would like a quote from me that you can use, you can say, quote, the film told the truth about Truman, end quote. And her description of it ended up being the kind of standard that we reach for.
Right. That's as good as you can do. You told the truth about your subject.
Yeah.
Before we go, we should play a clip from Moneyball, the 2011 film you directed. This is based on the 2003 book by Michael Lewis about the general manager of the Oakland Athletics, Billy Beane, and how he used kind of a new mathematically oriented system to evaluate and hire affordable players. And this is a scene fairly early in the film when Billy Beane's sitting down with his band of experienced scouts trying to figure out what they're going to do because they've lost three of their best players to free agency. And Beane, of course, is played by Brad Pitt. Let's listen.
We all understand what the problem is. We have to replace...
Okay, good. What's the problem?
The problem is we have to replace three key players in our lineup.
No, what's the problem?
Same as it's ever been. We've got to replace these guys with what we have existing.
No, what's the problem, Barry?
We need 38 home runs, 120 RBIs, and 47 doubles to replace.
The problem we're trying to solve is that there are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap. And then there's us. It's an unfair game. And now we've been gutted, like organ donors for the rich. Boston's taking our kidneys, Yankees taking our heart, and you guys are sitting around talking the same old good body nonsense like we're selling jeans, like we're looking for Fabio. We got to think differently. We are the last dog at the bowl. You see what happens to the runt of the litter? He dies.
Billy, that's a very touching story and everything, but I think we're all very much aware of what we're facing here. You have a lot of experience and wisdom in this room. Now, you need to have a little bit of faith and let us do the job of replacing Giambi.
Is there another first baseman like Giambi?
No, not really.
No.
And if there was, could we afford him?
No. Nope.
Then what the f*** are you talking about, man? If we try to play like the Yankees in here, we will lose to the Yankees out there.
Boy, that sounds like fortune cookie wisdom to me, Billy.
No, that's just logic.
Who's Fabio?
He's a shortstop. He's a shortstop from Seattle.
A bunch of crusty scouts speaking with Brad Pitt, playing Billy Beane in the film Moneyball, directed by our guest Bennett Miller. You want to just tell us a little bit about putting that scene together? Are these actors or scouts or some of both?
Most of those guys are just scouts, and there's a couple of actors in there. You know, we were just researching it and trying to get a sense of what these meetings are like, and invited a whole bunch of scouts to just talk to us about how they approach things and, you know, what these kinds of meetings are. And we brought, I don't know, probably 20 guys together when we were prepping the film, and just to have a roundtable discussion and to reenact something. And we just stirred it up and watched it go. And, you know, I'm sitting with Brad and we just look at each other and wonder, why are we trying to cast actors? And let's just invite these guys back and let's just tell them to study that season and say, you're working for the A's and how would you go about it? And, you know, that sort of in a hybrid with the script written by Steve Zalian and Aaron Sorkin, and just sort of brought it to life.
Well, Bennett Miller, I want to thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Dave.
Bennett Miller directed the new film Foxcatcher. He spoke with Fresh Air contributor Dave Davies. Coming up, rock critic Ken Tucker reviews a new album of forgotten Bob Dylan lyrics from the Basement Tapes era, set to music by various contemporary songwriters who also perform the songs. This is Fresh Air.